Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Sans Pants Radio, Australia's most cowardly podcast network.
Hello and welcome to Scaredy Boys, a podcast where three cowardly friends discuss horror movies. I'm Damien.
I'm Sean.
I'm Tom.
And for this episode, we watched The Unholy. The Unholy is a 2021 American supernatural horror film written, produced, and directed by Evan Spiliotopoulos, based on the 1983 novel Shrine by James Herbert. At its centre is Alice, a young hearing-impaired girl who, after a supposed visitation from the Virgin Mary, is inexplicably able to hear, speak, and heal the sick. As word spreads and people from near and far flock to witness her miracles, a disgraced journalist hoping to revive his career visits the small New England town to investigate. When terrifying events begin to happen all around, he starts to question if these phenomena are the works of the Virgin Mary or something much more sinister.
Cricket Brown.
Cricky Brown.
What a name.
Man. Best name.
Oh.
Pretty good actress.
She was, look, she's very good at acting, and she's very, very good at acting in this.
Yep.
I will say, though, Damo, you said something interesting
mm-hmm.
In your just your plot summary there, which was that centering on Alice... Mm-hmm. Which, that movie would be incredible if it was about Alice and from her perspective.
100%, dude. 100%.
Except that's not the movie we watched. She's a secondary character in a movie where she should be the hero, and it's so fucking weird.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yep. His character feels forced in there at some points. Like, even having a sleazeball journalist.
He's also a piece of shit.
He's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
If you... Yeah, I agree. That, like, if we were to fix this movie, that would 100%... be my number one thing. Like, while watching this movie, that was my thought process of, like, she's one, instantly more interesting.
Yep.
This girl who is so devout, believes this so wholeheartedly, but is basically being scammed by the devil. Like, that is such a great plot, and it's such a great character arc. She's got to go from being devout and just believing everything religious to learning a lesson in not just believing any sort of holy visage that comes her way.
Yeah.
Do you reckon this movie started out like that, and then at some point producers got involved, Jeffrey Dean Morgan had a look and went, oh, this is interesting, and then they sort of shifted the role towards him?
Hard to say. Well, like, it's based off of a book, as I said in that intro. So I don't know. I haven't looked up the book, actually. It'd be interesting to know, if the book centers on him or it centers on her. Mm.
I imagine in a book you could get away with centering on them both.
Yeah, true.
Look, having said that, you could still... He's an interesting character and he still goes on a nice journey. You just need 10 minutes more of him not being a total douchebag at the start of this
movie. Oh, yes.
Because the problem is he nearly kills her drink driving and he hasn't done anything redeemable up to that point except, boys, look... hot as fuck.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus Christ. It was lucky that we were watching this movie in a cinema with other people in it, because if I was watching this movie at home, I'll tell you what.
You'd be dry.
And it would have needed 7 cold showers.
Well, let's have a quick chat about our watching of this movie, because, boys, we watched it together at the cinema, no less.
Huge.
Big.
Scaredy Boys went to the movies.
Our first time as a unit for ages, I reckon.
Yeah, the last one would have been...
Over a year.
Well over a year, and it would have been, Tom, your favourite movie.
Oh, Ready or Not.
Ready or Not.
Shit, yeah, probably, yeah.
To be fair, actually, boys, at the time, I don't think we had the show, did we? Or we at least didn't plan that to be an episode. This is probably technically the first official Scaredy Boys venture.
Yes.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
And then to add a bit of extra flair to it, we actually went, there's a new cinema near the three of us that is built inside of an old prison.
A haunted prison.
A haunted prison, no less. And as we learned, the D block, the block the cinema is in, was also where the gallows were.
Yeah, it was fun. That was fun learning that.
So it was my suggestion to say we go to this cinema because of its history, not realizing just how fucking dumb that idea that was and just how gallows-y it would prove to be.
Look, undoubtedly spooky.
Yes.
But hey, great cinema.
Great cinema.
Bloody loved it.
Best chalk top in the business at that cinema.
I'll have to try next time.
You both missed out. So good.
I respect a cinema that you can buy a beer and take the cinema with you. That's always good.
Especially for cowards.
We'll be back there, boys. There's a certain film on the horizon that we're going to go and see in the haunted cinema.
Oh, boy.
Fucking hell.
Yep.
Does it start with Con and end with Juring?
Three.
Yeah. Oh, fuck. We're all getting sweaty.
I think one of the things that was nice with this is we've watched a lot of movies together, but I think something that we underestimated was watching a horror movie together in the cinema, you lose all of the because you're in public, there are other people, it's dark.
Yeah.
You don't have your phone on you.
Yeah.
You lose all of the things that we use often as coping strategies. There is no dog to play with.
No.
There is no snacks. We can't talk loudly to one another.
Yep.
I tried.
Yeah, it was all gone. And like that was my experience because obviously the COVID of it all, it had been so long since I'd been to the cinemas and I was giddy at going to the cinemas. I was giddy going to the cinemas with my mates. The first sort of proper Scaredy Boys outing, as you said, Sean. And it wasn't literally until like the trailers started and I realized, oh no, this isn't fun cinema. This is horror. Like, because I've literally like never seen a proper horror movie at the cinema, I've never had this exact experience before. And then all the joy sort of just dripped out of me. It fell out of my fucking shoes because I was all of a sudden terrified.
Yeah.
Actually, you've seen one demo, I think. You saw The Ring, didn't you?
That's true. That was one of my three. Yeah, I did see that at the cinema. And that's literally been the worst experience of my life.
Yep. Yeah. Blocked that one out.
That's in the egg, that's for sure.
There's nothing quite as chilling as watching a horror movie in the cinema. And as it's about to start and like the lights go down and the screen like changes size or whatever.
Yeah.
And you realize, oh, I'm in.
Yes. Yeah.
That moment of like doing that at home doesn't hit as hard because you're at home and like you can turn a light on, but you're in there and there are other people and you're like, if I piss myself in front of strangers, am I going to be okay with that?
That's
a thought process that, you know, I didn't think I would have to ever have.
That's something we all had to grapple with. Even when you, I think it was you, Tommy, who suggested we go see this at the cinemas. My first thought was like, well, I've never pissed myself at the cinema before, so this will be a first. But you're so right. Like our usual tricks were just out the window. Like even like normally I talk about Carney's socks, and there was one point where I turned to you, Carney. I'm like, Carney, I can't see your socks.
Yeah, I failed you at that point because I don't think I was even wearing special socks. I think they were just like black socks, and I was like, damn it,
mate.
So as experiences go, this one was full on. For the movie itself, disappointing.
Yep. It hung in there for a while. Actually, I've just remembered. There was like 20 minutes to go and you leaned over, Tom, and said to me that it's close to a 5. And I was like, Tom, what the fuck are you talking about?
I don't think I knew that.
I don't think I said it's close to a 5.
You did. You were so close, mate.
I think I said there was a point where I was like, if it goes a certain way, it could be a 5. And then it took a hard right turn because Kerry all showed up and started being like, I'm from Boston.
Oh, that accent.
I'm going to talk about the Boston Red Sox.
Terrible actor.
He's not.
Terrible.
Do you reckon he's a terrible actor?
Never made a good film.
Oh, Robin Hood, Men in Tights.
Oh, sorry. Sorry. No, you are correct. Robin Hood, Men in Tights. Superb.
Thank you.
Yep. That's it, though.
I will punch you both in the dick.
Oh, he's in Saw. I haven't seen the first Saw.
Why do you both hate Princess Bride so much?
Don't hate it. I just think it's one of the most overrated films of all time. Tom, did you watch it when you were a child?
Well, 13.
Yeah. I think there's a nostalgic attachment to it. If you come into it now as like a 30-year-old man, you're just going to be like, what's the fuss?
Yeah, that was my experience. Like I said in our Aliens ep, there's so much cinema, classic cinema, that I haven't watched. I've realized I'm lacking in my education. And so I came to that one later and it was fine. It was a good movie. It had a few laughs. It had some nice adventure elements. Obviously played on the fairy tale tropes.
Yep.
I enjoyed all of that. I just didn't walk away being like fucking best film ever that
there you go.
Most people seem to do.
Yep. Now that shouldn't be controversial. That's just what it is. If you're like Damo and I and you share that opinion, you should absolutely seek out Stardust.
Oh, yeah.
A great film.
Stardust is great.
Yep.
Stardust is great.
Yep.
I can agree that they're both good movies.
I'm happy for you, Tom.
But I will agree that old mate Carrie, he was good in some of his older work. I'm talking Princess Bride. I'm talking Robin Hood. I'm talking Dracula.
Oh yeah.
Oh
man.
Yeah.
Oh boys.
And then he just picks up the phone and phones it in with. He's the only person doing an accent except for the farmer who uses the word wicked earlier. Just to let everyone know we're in Massachusetts. This guy's saying wicked.
Yeah.
He's hitting it hard.
Yeah.
It didn't have to be, though. Like, it didn't have to be Boston.
No.
So clearly, I mean, he's made that choice. Because they could have rewritten that easily if he went, look, I don't think I've got a stranglehold on this accent. But they just went with it.
I think it's the opposite. I think he's recently gone, I've added the Boston accent to my repertoire. I want to pull it out.
I'm with Damo. There is no way that they asked him to do this. He just came in, guns blazing. And I think it's this guy's first movie too. So he managed to get some big names in it. And there's no way he's saying to Carrie, hey, mate, can you rein it in? That's generally what he sounds like, though. Like, I want people to know that I am not exaggerating. Mm-hmm. That is exactly what he sounds like in this movie.
Yeah, it is like beyond a caricature of the Boston accent. But I also love that you said he phoned it in, because this was filmed during 2020, I think, or at least parts of it were, because afterwards one of you guys sort of said, did you notice the green screen? Because there was points where clearly the actors were not in the same room, but they must have filmed them and shoved it together.
We think. It's just shot very bizarrely.
Which, hey, maybe.
It could be.
There's that one scene where Jeffrey Dean Morgan, sexy Dean Morgan, is interviewing the two priests.
Yes.
And it's just clear that the three of them are not, like, Jeffrey Dean Morgan is on location.
Right.
The two priests are not, and they're also not in the same room as one another.
No, I agree.
Because they're kind of not looking at one another because they don't want to fuck up the eye level.
I know, which is wild. Do you think of a movie like Roger Rabbit? Is that what I'm thinking of?
Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Yeah.
Where they have to get an eye line.
One of the greatest movies of all
time. One of the greatest movies of all times. And they have to get, like, Bob Hoskins never misses an eye line in that film, even though he's talking to animated toons. Yeah. And yet in this movie, they can't find the eye line. It is wild.
Hmm.
Bob goes so hard in that movie, and that movie doesn't necessarily even deserve, like, it does actually, but going into that movie, Bob Hoskins didn't have to go as hard as he did, but he did, and I'm glad. I want to thank you, Bob.
Yeah. He is just as crucial to that film as Michael Caine is to Muppet Christmas Carol.
Yes.
100%. They bring the same energy.
100%.
Yeah.
They commit.
For that movie, I would love to do it on this podcast. We could do it even as a horror, because there are definitely some scenes that freak the fuck out of me, especially watching it as a kid.
Mm.
You know which scene I'm talking about.
Mm.
Yep.
Or we could do it as a chaser, because it's also just a fucking great movie.
Yeah, I'm down.
Look, this is unrelated to... This is a Roger Rabbit fact, but I'm going to say it anyway.
Great.
And maybe we've talked about this at other points before, but there's a fact that... So it's the first time Bugs Bunny and Mickey Mouse ever appear together on screen in a movie, and they've never done it again. And there was a stipulation from Warner Brothers and a stipulation from Disney that if they had them both in there, they had to speak the exact same amount of dialogue. So they both have the scene that they both appear in, they both have the same amount of lines.
That's great.
Yeah.
Look, I think it's pretty telling that for this movie, we've spoken about it for maybe 3 minutes so far. Because
look, it starts off really strong. The first 20 minutes, really good. There's some good scares.
Interesting stuff going on. Tell us about your chalk top. What was the flavor?
So it was chalk mint. It was chalk mint, but it wasn't just chalk mint, boys. It was like a chalk mint, but cookies and cream.
Oh,
so the chalk part was like crumbly. And it wasn't like a store-bought chalk top. They had scooped in ice cream into a cone and then put the chocolate on it to then set.
Fucking great.
That sounds delicious. Speaking of delicious, sexy Dean Morgan, and we're back.
Oh, yeah, there we go. Man, he's a delicious man. He's a delicious, delicious man.
But again, poorly cast. Well, not even poorly cast. Well cast, poorly executed in that he should not have been the main character.
Yes.
I even like his character. I just looked up. He was in the book. It was unclear from my quick Wikipedia research whether he was the protagonist or not in the book. His character was in the book. But again, Alice should have been the main character. He could have been supporting, because you kind of need him to do some of the investigative heavy lifting.
Yeah.
But her story is so much more interesting. And like we said, Cricket is bringing it. Ridiculous name, wonderful name, but she's bringing it.
She's so good.
She's doing a very good job in this film. I just want someone to immediately turn around and remake this movie with her as the protagonist. I think it'd be great.
Yeah, she is like the great thing about this. There is one thing you can take away from this film, and that is that she is great. And also that the premise is cool. premise is well great. Executed.
Yes, agreed.
So it's not a hopeless film. No, stretch.
And like it even starts interestingly and terribly, where we're seeing through the eyes of a woman back in whatever friggin' year it was, like 100 years ago during the witch trials or whatever, I assume.
Yep.
And we're hearing a hammering, we're hearing a squelching.
Oh, yeah.
And it's so brutal and terrible. And you don't really know what's happening other than it's awful. And then obviously jumps forward in time, blah, blah, blah. And so, yeah, I agree. The premise is great. I do think the first 20 minutes are really good. The horrible little doll near the tree that's buried under the tree. Love that mythology. Hate that fucking doll.
Oh.
Yep.
Can we just don't put things in a doll? Like if you're a bunch of like Christian Puritans who are killing witches and you're like, this witch is the evilest witch we know. We're going to bind her soul to an object. Bind her to a brick and drop it in the bottom of the ocean. Don't bind her to a doll and bury her under the tree in which she was killed.
Clever, Tom.
Also, bury very shallowly.
Yeah.
Make it a good 6 foot at least. Pretend it's a fucking grave, if not more. Like,
lazy.
It is right on the surface.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mother's Day is just around the corner, and it's time to pamper the special moms in your life. And what better way than with Osea's limited edition skincare sets featuring clean, vegan, cruelty-free products that are safe for your skin and the planet. Osea is a women-founded, women-led brand that's been making seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. This Mother's Day, Osea has 2 limited edition sets, perfect for gifting or keeping for yourself. Their Golden Glow body set includes 3 clinically proven bestsellers for silky, smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go Facial set has everything she needs to achieve spa-level results at home. They're so beautiful, you can skip the wrapping. For a limited time, you can save up to $48 on Osea sets, plus get free shipping. That's Mother's Day made easy. Pamper the moms in your life and get 10% off your first order site-wide with code MOM at OseaMalibu.com. That's OseaMalibu.com, code MOM.
Let's jump right into, were we scared?
Yes, yeah. Initially,
yeah.
Because we were in a cinema and we'd made a giant mistake. Especially when the nails were getting hammered in, we were all kind of like, what have we done? What the fuck have we done?
Terrible mistake. There's some awful scares
in this. Like the scene where he has the dream and she comes out of the river and just slowly like skitters towards him and just her face.
Oh, yeah.
All the times she appears behind him.
Yes.
There are some genuinely fucking terrifying scenes in this.
Yeah.
Undercut by some just insane choices.
Yes, Tom, I think there are moments where it's like very creepy and scary, but then they kind of get to a point in the film where it drags out a bit too long and then just becomes silly.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I got to the point where I was like, ah, okay.
When a man gets killed by a burning crucifix while doing an exorcism.
yeah, that wasn't earned. Yeah.
No.
Yeah, well, look, I definitely had plenty of scares. And this is what this movie did do the scares well, but it also... It leaned heavily on the usual barrel of tricks, which isn't necessarily even a bad thing. Like, obviously, you know, you think about the Conjuring movies, which we loved, they kind of do the same thing, but they've also got the plot to back it up.
Yes.
Where, like, for example, there was the scene where every time he was going into his hotel room, you've got the red hotel light. It's very ominous. It's a great setting, but it wasn't earned. Like, she I know there was one time where she did appear in the background, and then every time since then we were kind of tense. And then, yes, she does kind of like appear in his hotel room even at one point, but then nothing came of it.
Yeah.
There was like, that actually didn't lead to anything in the story. It was just there to make us be afraid at that point.
It was just cheap.
It's cheap. And you, like, you know, we've watched enough. I would definitely not say I'm an expert yet, but we've watched enough horror to go, yeah, you can do that and it'll work, but it's forgettable. If you do that within the context of the story, so it pushes the story forward, now you've really got me, because that was inevitable now. That was always going to happen.
Yep. The scariest thing is something that we mentioned before, and it was that newfound sense of being trapped because we're at the cinema.
Yes.
Yep.
Yep.
It's that, just that that lock-in feeling of like, ah, I don't have my usual tricks.
Yep.
It's even like not really socially acceptable for Tom to do his IMDb detective work on his phone in a cinema.
Do you know what is acceptable though? You can still put your hand over your face. I did it.
yeah. Well done.
Actually, Damo crawled up in his chair at certain points. Oh, there's a snug little bug there.
There was one point that really got me, and I think it's exactly what you're saying, Karns, where I didn't have my usual tricks. It was a point where I would have used those tricks, where Jeffrey Dean Morgan was looking into the water. And you know something's going to come out of that water.
Yeah.
Like, it's not even subtle, but it managed to hold on for just the right amount of time that I had kind of looked away, looked back because I couldn't look at my phone. I couldn't look at Carney's socks. I had to keep watching the screen. It's fucking huge and in front of me. And then out she came and I fucking jumped. And I'm not proud of it, but I did. I jumped in my seat.
I think you grabbed my arm.
I did grab your arm a little bit. Yeah. And then I was like, sorry, dude. Oh, my God. After that, I just felt, that was the height of it for me. And then after that, that's where the silliness started to creep in and I wasn't as affected by it.
Yeah. From that point, it's then there, like, early on, it seems like something interesting because it's just like, she's just doing this because it's revenge and she's, like, the idea that you have it literally the devil effectively or the devil's girlfriend or whatever her thing is.
Yeah.
Pretending to be the Virgin Mary is such a cool thing.
It's great.
The version of her that Alice sees compared to the version that the skeptical journalist sees is just a really nice touch. And you've got all these little breadcrumbs of like the priest finding out and being doubtful of it. Yep. But then they just kind of, they introduce a cool, interesting priest guy whose job is to test miracles and he dies in the most shit way possible.
100%.
They kill off the other priest in a just kind of, it's kind of spooky and whatever, but it happens off screen. And then the main priest is just like, oh, I don't care that it might be Satan. Like, I know.
It's also Carrie Hughes with the worst fucking accent that's ever appeared on screen.
I don't care that it might be Satan. We're brothers from when we grew up in Boston.
What was the word? I can't remember what he said. What was that one word?
I think he was doing like a, it was during the sermon at the end.
Yes.
Oh, watch. He was like, watch over me. Guard me.
That was great, but there was something else he said where I was just like, I've never heard it said like that before in my life.
I'd love to know if any listeners are from Boston.
Yeah.
Can you just watch this movie, just the Carrie Hughes part, and tell us, does anyone you know actually speak like that? Like, has he taken it to a level where you're like, even Bostonites are like, nah, man, you fucked it up.
Yeah. Mark Wahlberg's probably beating the shit out of him right now.
Fucking Marky Mark, yeah. But yeah, so great premise. The Mary stuff is really great. It's even actually really great that it's based in somewhat of reality. So they'd mention throughout the piece these three other sort of events. There's Lourdes in France, Fatima and Medjugorje or something like that, where they've all blown up and become these like sanctuaries of religious beliefs where like, yeah, this little town has exploded. So all those three that they mention, they're real. They all really happened. And it was all Virgin Mary as well.
Oh, cool.
Cool, but also not cool, Tom.
Yeah, no, I agree. But I will say this, there's also like, there's a point midway in this film where it looks like it's going to do something really interesting. But then you realize there's only like 15 minutes to go and it wastes it. And it's when basically the kind of whole idea of like false idols and like worship and like church v commerce, that equals money, like the big mega churches. It looks like it's going to have something interesting to say about that.
Sure.
For 10 seconds.
Yeah.
And then it's just like, but also they nailed the metal mask to her face.
Right.
Tom, that's the moment when you leaned across and said, if they lean into this, 5 stars.
I agree.
That's what it was.
If they nailed that, if they had gone harder on that, that would be a really interesting thing where basically the devil is using the commercialization of the church to turn Christians to hell. Ah, good.
Right. And good like shit. That could have been Alice's story because she was so devout. But our Jeffrey Dean Morgan character did not give a fuck. He was only doing it so he could become famous journalist again. Like, so that had no stakes within our protagonist's arc.
Mm.
So why the fuck should we, the audience, care?
Yep.
And again, that's where it should have been Alice's story. And like, they definitely should have leaned into that more with her realizing just how corrupt her religion is. And like, you've even got Carrie Hughes's character, this priest who doesn't give a fuck. He's just doing it for the likes, basically. Mm.
Yep.
All right. Well, did our characters act wisely or foolishly?
Jeffrey Dean is the dumbest man, but the most beautiful man, but the dumbest man in this movie.
Very dumb.
Don't smash the child doll.
He smashed the fucking doll willingly. Fuck me.
He's an idiot. I fucking hate him. To be honest, I lost respect for him for something very tedious, which was just the way that he held his camera. No self-respecting photojournalist would hold a camera in that fashion.
That's hilarious.
So I just looked at him and went, you suck.
Does he hold it by the lens all the time?
Yeah, he holds it just the... You hold it from... a professional would hold it from underneath, yeah. Not over the top like he does. Also, like when they showed brief examples of the photos he was taking, they are terrible photos.
yeah.
Like... They're not going to publish those.
I'll tell you what it made me think of. You know, like in action flicks where cops hold their guns sideways because it looks cool.
Yeah. Also, he went from being like taking photos to just stop. He didn't care about photos anymore. He was all video after that.
Yeah, that's true. Yes.
Just a weird unit.
Yeah.
Bad at his job.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
we've established that he was bad at his job because he got fired from his job for being bad at his job.
But yeah, like even if you're not someone who's like superstitious or afraid of, you know, the supernatural or cowards like us, you wouldn't dig up a creepy-looking doll and then smash it.
Right.
Like, why would you do that? That's just so dumb. He has to do it for the film to exist. It's the kicking the stones. Yeah. But man, why would you do that?
Yeah.
He's not a clever man.
No.
Too sexy,
that's the problem. He's had it easy in life. He's been all sexy all the time. He doesn't have to be smart when you're that sexy. He's
living in a bubble.
I cannot stress enough how hot he is in this movie.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. I'm not actually attracted to Jeffrey Dean Morgan in anything else I've ever seen him in. I've been watching an episode of Supernatural and being like, yeah, I want to fuck the dad. Like, that's not a thought process I've ever had. But in this movie, it's like, What's going on, JDM?
Yeah, he's bringing something. He's got a charisma. Maybe it's the salt and pepper beard. I don't know, but there's something there.
I think it's the beard, yeah.
Yeah, I think it is the salt and pepper beard and all the weird tattoos and I don't know. He's a piece of shit.
Mm. Tom, apparently you're attracted to pieces of shit.
Well, no, like I'm not like... Yeah.
You are now.
I am now.
You got a new fetish, brother. Enjoy it. Relish it. It's great.
Happy for you.
Thanks, boys. Thanks.
However, you also have now acted foolishly.
Yes.
You are not in the wise category.
No. Yep.
So yeah, look, pretty foolish across the board. Obviously, Carrie uses characters just a big old piece of shit and not in a sexy way. No. And he's got a terrible accent. Like Alice, like sure, I guess she acts foolishly, but...
She has no choice.
Yeah, she has no choice. Exactly right.
And no other option. She's clever to the best of her
abilities.
She's
very young as well.
Yes. And the minute she realizes it's not what she thought it was, she pivots away from it straight away.
Again, should have been her story. Makes me so angry that it wasn't her story. So yeah, look, pretty foolish, I would say, other than maybe Alice, which tells you everything you need to know about this fucking movie.
can we just, before we move on from this point, I've just remembered there's a plot point in this where at the end of the movie, Alice dies and is brought back to life.
Oh, fuck. I totally forgot about that.
And I've thought about this a lot, but there's any movie I think that has the devil in it and like exorcisms and we've got to stop the devil.
Yeah.
By that extension of logic, in that movie, God is real.
Oh, yes, you're right, Tom.
God is real in this movie. It is heavily implied that God is real.
But I mean, like, I've had this discussion with someone before where like any movie where the devil is real, then God also has to be real. And in which case, what the fuck are you doing, God?
Yeah.
Why are you letting the devil run these tricks all over town and you're doing nothing about it?
I love that. But just the fact that God is just absent.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, that like that plot point that drove me, like, I guess that was Jeffrey Dean Morgan's arc where he actually became religious.
Yeah.
And look, even the finishing shot, we finish away from the church and there is sort of this sense of like, hey, God's good. Catholicism's great.
Yeah.
That's the way to win the day. That doesn't always sit well with me.
No.
Doesn't it shot end with it? They go to the Virgin Mary statue again and she's looking evil?
And she's bleeding. Her eyes
You're
are
right. They leave the church and then they kind of go back to that. Well, they leave the exterior of the church, I think, and go into it maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. And then it's just sort of the camera zooms in and the eyes are bleeding again.
Which and like that, what a fucking one, cliche. Two, what does that mean? What are we meant to take from that?
Yeah.
Like,
it shouldn't even be possible.
Exactly right.
Based on the logic of the film.
Yeah.
It shouldn't work.
Actually, questionable boys, logic. I'm about to blow you away because technically it should be possible based on the logic of the film.
Why?
She only dies if Alice dies and Alice is alive again at the end of the movie.
No, but in theory, Alice dying killed it and then God brought Alice back to life.
Mm. Well, God sucks, I've always established.
It does.
There's this statue's reminded me, when I was in Edinburgh a few years ago, there's this story. I can't remember her name. If there's any Scottish listeners and you know, please let us know. There's this story of a woman who was sentenced to death, a criminal who'd been sentenced to death, and they hung her. She died, but then later resuscitated. And she argued, I've been served my punishment. I died as you wanted. I was killed.
Yeah.
And they agreed and let her go.
I love that. I think that's great.
Too, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So in the logic of Edinburgh, Mary should be done because price paid.
Yeah. That's yeah. And that's what they were doing.
Yeah.
Fuck, that's powerful.
I didn't really love sexy Dean Morgan's little speech to God where he's just like, oh, hey, man, I'm not very good at this. And it's like, oh, come on.
Oh, that is the most cliched. Yeah, I don't really do praying much. Yeah, stop praying and start kissing.
Okay. All right, horny Tom, just pull it in. All right.
Oh, boy. Well,
that actually brings me scarily close to what would we do because... Tom, you're way too horny,
mate. Jeffrey Dean Morgan. That's what I'd do.
yeah, that's what you would
do. Turn his mic off.
So, boy, who are we in this?
I think we're Alice, right?
I think we're Alice as well. I think so, yeah. If that's who the protagonist should have been, I think that's who we should be in this.
Or are we Jeffrey Dean investigating? Have the Scaredy Boys been contacted by a small town in Boston, Massachusetts to investigate
everything? Actually, yeah, we're Jeffrey Dean.
Well, let's split it up. Maybe I'll be Alice.
Yeah.
Sean, you're Jeffrey Dean.
Okay.
Tom, you're Jeffrey Dean's assistant who's super horny for Jeffrey Dean.
It's true. But no, I think we don't even have to be characters. I think we can just be the Scaredy Boys. A listener has emailed us and been like, hey, I've got a spooky story for you.
I'm Jeffrey Dean. You're my assistant. My first act as Jeffrey Dean is to give you the camera because you're probably a better photographer.
And my act as your assistant is to just send you photos of my junk. So.
But yeah, no, how would the Scaredy Boys do this? Obviously, the doll has already been smashed. We can't really avoid that.
No.
What happens if we just leave town?
Yeah, that's a good question. Well, like, I mean, with Alice performing miracles, there's a natural draw there. Like, for me, who's obviously, I would be somewhat skeptical. So let's say I'm not Alice. I would want to see what happens.
Okay.
Because at the moment, it doesn't seem sinister, right, off the bat.
Yes. And I also think the issue with us leaving town is, as it is heavily implied, that because they live stream the event, anyone who believes in her is affected by her.
Yeah.
So that girl who's watching it in her bedroom from, like, another state, I think leaving town we wouldn't be safe. Like,
I agree. Yeah, you have to leave town and, like, not watch any part of it ever.
Well, no, but I think she's then out and powerful and, like, alive and invincible, and she's going to take Alice's body.
Yeah.
So then she's just like, yeah, a super powerful witch Satan woman in a normal body with not a metal plate over her whole face.
Yeah.
So we have to save the world.
We have to save the world. And Carney, so you're Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
Yeah.
You need to be, given how this movie ran.
But I'm a coward. I want to run. I don't want this story anymore.
I don't think we can, boys. I think we'll be okay, and here's why.
Okay.
There are rules in this film.
I love me some rules.
There are instructions, there are rules, there are research, involves reading books, something that we'd like to do.
I love it.
I think if we follow the rules, and I think we need to, like, for example, early on when we're about to do an exorcism, is teach the other priest how to run sideways.
Yeah, because he could have been a weapon, that man.
Run a few basketball drills with him.
Yeah.
Get him to be able to fucking dodge that falling cross.
Yeah.
If he learns how to move laterally, they save.
Yeah.
We go to him. We don't go to Carrioles because we go, that Boston accent's fake as that.
Oh, that's fake as shit.
We kill him, yeah. We just kill him.
Yeah. We'd run him over drink driving.
Be like, oh, that was wicked smart. You just fucking run him over.
Oh, man. Anyone from Boston and listen to this episode is going to be like, they want to talk about his accent.
Yeah. Well, look, I'm very sorry for that hate crime I think I just committed.
Hey, we're not professional actors.
I'm guilty too.
So, yeah, look, I think you're right. So it's Monsignor Delgade, I think was his name. We got to get him on board. He's actually the answer. Like, when he died, not only was it infuriating because what a fucking dumb death. Like, he had so much time to dodge that burning, falling cross. But also, like, that was a nice setup. You had someone whose job it was to investigate this thing and find out if it was real or fake. He found out it was real, too real. In fact, if anything, it was a big con by the devil. Like, that was a really nice plot line that was so stupidly ended.
Yeah.
So I agree. I think we're cowards, yes. He wasn't a coward. If we can save him, we've saved ourselves.
So we need to use our understanding of horror tropes to keep him alive long enough for him to save the day.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. We're not saving the day.
That's the easiest job in the world. We can do this.
All right. Well, look, I guess, like we said, we're not fans of Carrie Hughes' character because he's got his fucked accent.
He's dead.
So, cool. The only other priest there is William Sadler, who, look, I'm not trusting to make me a ham sandwich if I'm being perfectly honest.
Yeah, let's get rid of him. Give him a pack of darts.
Yeah.
Gone.
He's sorted, yeah. So then, great, we're left with the Monsignor, who's clearly, he's got it pretty sorted.
He seems capable as fuck.
Kind of, you can walk up to him, you're Jeffrey Dean Morgan, you can be like one hot guy to another hot guy.
Yeah. I'll just seduce him.
While Tom watches from the bushes.
There's no doubt he wants it. Like, I mean, do we go the other way? And that's like the devil's putting Alice up on the worldwide stage and people are believing in her. Do we put Jeffrey Dean Morgan up on the worldwide stage?
Give them someone else to believe in.
Yeah. Also, can we just go back to the film at the end when he says to that crowd in the tent, he's trying to convince them, I just made it up.
Yeah.
It's like, mate, we're too far gone. People have witnessed miracles that she has performed. That's a great They're not going to believe a hack journalist is just like, I wanted the clout. I made it up. Right. You're an idiot.
Yeah. Especially because he doesn't have any answer for how he pulled off these so-called fake miracles. Like, you had so many witnesses and cameras and this kid had a history of not being able to walk. Now he's walking like, fuck me. All right. Then in that case, basically what we really need is Jeffrey Dean Morgan's or your hotness, Carney.
Yeah.
In this movie, strong enough to distract people from the Virgin Mary performing miracles.
Yeah. Is Jeffrey Dean Morgan's hotness strong enough to defeat the devil?
In this movie.
It is.
Yes.
Yes. We're in consensus.
I think he just has to take his shirt off and all the cameras point to him. Alice never gets a look in.
Right. If we see that salt and pepper chest hair, done. Day saved.
And then, boys, then we knock Alice out. Throw her in the ocean.
That's not bad. Yeah. Hey, like you said, Tom, they should have tied a brick to the doll and sunk it. We just do that with Alice.
Mm.
Actually, she's the last of the bloodline, right?
Yeah. We could just shoot her in the head.
I'm not proud of this, but the answer is honestly kill Alice.
Yeah.
That literally saves the day. And don't bring her back. Don't go begging to God to bring her back.
Look, I mean, if it's between Cricket Brown and the world wins.
I'm choosing Cricket Brown. It's a good name.
It is a good name. We have to keep that name alive, to be honest. Oh, the devil wins again.
Ah, that friggin' devil. Well, no, look, if Tom's so enamored by your hotness, Carney, all you have to do is be like, hey, Tom, go kill that kid.
That's right. I don't even have to do it. My hands are clean.
I'll do it.
Crime of passion.
I will do it. I'll go to jail for it. I'm prepared. I'm ready to go. I'll be like, did the devil make you do it? And I'll be like, nah, God did.
Yeah, Damo, I feel like to tie things up, though, we kill Tom after he's done that.
Probably safest, mate.
Just to clean the books.
This is like, this is a rare situation where I think we've betrayed Tom.
Well, it's finally come to a point where we've used his horniness and his traitorousness, and we're just going to flip it on its head.
It's beautiful. It's fucking tied a sweet little bow around it.
Yeah. I feel good about this.
I feel really good. Tom, how do you feel?
I'll be fine.
I got to be Jeffrey Dean Morgan, just living my best life over here. God.
All right, maybe this movie was all right. Maybe we liked it.
Nah, it was still a shit.
And that is all the scary talk we have for this episode. I've been Damien.
I've been Sean.
I've been Tom.
And if you scary listeners have any comments about this episode, would like to say hi or suggest a movie for us to watch, you can email us at 3scaredboys@gmail.com or you can find us on Twitter at scaredyboys or individually. I'm at Midday Pajamas.
I'm at Carney from 55.
I'm at Awkward Trade.
Stay scared, everyone.
Stop praying and start kissing.